Does everyone have a set of the notes? Anyone who does not? Does not? Okay, we got a few that don't have notes. Kelly, if there's some extra back there, just keep your hands up while we're not going to stick a 45 in your back or anything, nothing like that. But keep your hands up so that we can give you the ammunition necessary to understand what God wants to say to you today. So open your Bibles with me, if you would please, to Ephesians chapter 2. By the way, I just have to blow Justin's horn for him a little bit. I've always wondered how it would be to sit under another man's ministry as a pastor in the same church that I led for years and years and years. And I have to say, folks, I thoroughly enjoy Justin's teachings. I just do. And last Sunday was over the top on Pentecost Sunday. It was phenomenal. For those of you who missed it, just go online and you can get yourself caught up. And it is such a, you don't know how pleasing it is to my spirit man to be able to sit under his ministry. Yeah, I'm learning a lot. I really am. I'm learning a lot. You say, well, that surprises me. Because you might be thinking, I didn't know. I thought you were done learning. No, afraid not. Sharon looks at me like, no, he's not done learning. Okay. Dead man comes alive. Father God, I just ask you right now that you would refresh my spirit and recall to mind. Folks, this message dates back to May 24, 2009. And I know all of you remember that. But Father God, I just pray that you refresh in my mind, refresh this message, cause it to be a word from you today, to be the encouragement that we need in this hour, in Jesus' name. So I'm just going to begin by reading that first paragraph. Because we are to the praise of his glory, and we are seated at the Father's right hand, and we have all authority over every principality and power and dominion in the heavenlies, Paul was astounded that God would call him to preach the mystery and make all see the mystery to the intent that the wisdom of God might be made known by the church to principalities and powers in heavenly places. Do you realize that the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ that you preach every day with your life, every day you preach to everyone around you one way or another because you are Jesus on earth. He left you here for that reason. Because you're Jesus on earth, the mystery of the gospel of Jesus Christ is being revealed by you to principalities and powers and to the whole world concerning who Jesus is. Yes, a phenomenal privilege. And it's something we should give thanks to God for every single day. So in chapter 1, we're going to do just a little overview here. In chapter 1 of Ephesians, one of my favorite chapters of the Bible, to be honest with you, I have here 27 specific things that God speaks to us about how he honors us as his inheritance. Jesus, incidentally, say this with me, I am the inheritance of Jesus. I want that to soak in a minute. I am the inheritance of Jesus. Wow. So what's that inheritance mean? It means, number one, that you are showered with grace and peace. Number two, that every spiritual blessing is possible. Number three, that you're chosen. Number four, that you're holy and without blame. Number five, that you have a pre-designed destiny in Jesus. Predesigned destiny in Jesus. Number six, that you enjoy the good pleasure of his will. Number seven, that you are to the praise of his glory. Number eight, that you are accepted in Jesus. Number 9, that you have redemption through his blood. Number 10, that you have total forgiveness. You know, so many times, here's what we do, guys, gals. We tend to live like we have partial forgiveness. And in the areas where we know we're forgiven, we're okay. But the areas we just don't think we're quite forgiven yet, we got to earn that forgiveness, which is a lie, isn't it? No, total forgiveness. What's total mean? It means total, just like all means all, okay? Number 11, absolute riches in his grace. Number 12, manifest wisdom and prudence. Number 13, the experience of the mystery of his will. Number 14, we have a self-proposed pleasure in him. Self-proposed pleasure in him. Yeah. Number 15, we are all called together as one in him. 16, we are his full inheritance. We, you, I, all of us together in the body of Christ are Jesus' full inheritance. Number 17, we enjoy the full counsel of his will. 18, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. 19, we are given a spirit of wisdom and revelation through the unveiling of Jesus. Number 20, the eyes of our understanding are enlightened. 21, we are the hope of his calling. 22, we are the riches of his inheritance. 23, we have the exceeding greatness of his power. We have the resurrection power. 24, 25, we are seated with Jesus at the Father's right hand. That's right now. 26, we have authority over all principalities, powers, mights, and dominions, and anything named that was ever named. 27, all that are his are filled with all that he is. All that are his are filled with all that he is. Dead man, come alive. And so we start with Ephesians 2, and he says, Paul says, that was just chapter 1, 27 things he says about you, declares about you. Do you think you're important to God? Come on. Do you think you're important to God? Wow. That's just 27 things. There's a gazillion more that aren't mentioned. And I counted every one of those gazillion. No. Now, look at chapter 2, though, verse 1. In you could say in I, he made alive who was dead in trespasses and sins. So dead man, dead person, come alive. All right. So let's dig into this a little bit more. What's the former condition? Verses 1 through 3. Number 1, or A in your outline. Dead. Now, what does that mean? In this context, and most of the time when it's the word dead is used in a spiritual connotation in Scripture, it means separated from God forever. Separated from God forever. And what was I dead in? What was my spiritual condition as deadness? What did it look like? I was dead in my trespasses. What are trespasses? Trespasses are sins of mind and body. It means to cross the line of God's standard. It means to deviate or wander. Get off track. Anybody guilty of that? I think I heard, Yeah. Sins. What does sins mean? It means to miss the mark. And I just illustrated there in the Greek classics, it had a picture of a spearman missing a target, hitting the wrong things. You know, here's something I want to share with you. And this is going to deviate just a little bit from my notes. I just need to tell you a little story. The other morning I was reading, again, this year, I don't know how many times I've done it, but I'm using the New Living Translation, reading through the Bible in 1 year. And it includes an Old Testament passage, a New Testament passage, a psalm, and a proverb. Well, the other day, I think it was June 5, the passage to read was about David. And David was already anointed as king over Israel. But there came a time when God was very displeased with the nation and what was going on. And he told David, because of his displeasure, he said, I want you to number the nation. And it came up with something like 1,300,000, something like that. That was the number. Well, when David began to do this, he took it upon himself from a different perspective than what God intended. David's pride rose up inside of him. He did the right thing with the wrong motive. Anyone guilty of that? Yeah. God told him to do it. So let me ask you, has God ever told you to do something and you did it, but with the wrong motive? Uh-huh. Wow, that just got me. The right thing with the wrong motive. It was so heinous in the eyes of God, in the mind of God, that he said to David, okay, you're going to suffer consequence from this. You know, and David, because he had a heart of God, he confessed, he repented of it, but he still suffered the consequence. And so what was the consequence? That God gave him three choices, and the one that David chose was to have a plague that would last for 3 days. And I can't remember how many, I think it was 70,000. Well, 70,000 men died in 3 days with the plague because of one sin that David committed against the Lord, doing the right thing with the wrong motive. Wow. It just reminded me again, God, when I say I'm going to be obedient, I'm going to choose to be obedient. I desire to be obedient even in my motives in doing and being what you want from me. Wow. Yeah. And so then David cries out to God and he said, what right do you have to kill all these sheep? He calls them sheep. To kill all these sheep. What's in your heart to do? And God heard his cry and repented. It's one of the places in the Old Testament where it says God repented. God stopped it. He said, I see your heart of repentance. I'll stop this. Do you think maybe that changed David's view of sin from that day forward? Uh-huh. Now, just think about it, folks. If every time we hear from God and God tells us to do something or be something for his kingdom, and we know it's the call of God, but we start getting involved with our own motives in fulfilling the call of God, and we do the right thing with the wrong motive. Just think if that kind of consequence would happen to us. That kind of consequence has never happened for me. But praise God. His grace, his mercy, coming back to the 27 things. Wow. So that's sins, missing the mark. Romans 3:23, we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We missed the target of glorifying God. And a dead man is insensible. If you're dead, you're dead. You're insensible. Senses are not able to tune in to the reality in God or the reality of God. You're not just sick. You're dead. Mortification has set in. It's an epidemic. It's incurable apart from Jesus. Wow. Turn the page. Incidentally, what I gave you this morning are my actual preaching notes, teaching notes. And they're not revised at all. It's just the way I, right off the computer. just the way it was given back in 2009. So B in your outline. There's a threefold description of a dead man's walk. Number one, he walks according to the ways of the world. The word there is course, which means, and it's the Greek word iona, which literally has reference to the history of the world. History. He walks according to the history of this world. Why? Because it's trapped. We're trapped in it because of the fall. The word world is cosmos, which speaks of the system of this world. It has reference to education, thoughts, opinions, maxims, speculations. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. We'll turn back to another scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 4. Another place that Paul addresses this. This whole issue of how easy it is to fall into the trap of this world. He says in verse 4, "And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom." Persuasive words of human wisdom. "But in demonstration of spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men or this world, but in the power of God." Let's go back to that little phrase, persuasive words of human wisdom. Let me ask you a question. When you speak to someone else, what are the words that are supposed to be coming out of your mouth? They are to be the very breath of God. I think it's Mercy Me that sings that song about the breath of God coming out of your mouth. Okay, picture this. Every word you speak as a believer in Jesus Christ, as one who is committed to Jesus, every word you speak can be empowered by the Holy Spirit in such a way that it is the very breath of God affecting that other person. Words, what are they? Really, words are, it's just breath. So, what does that do for me? What that does is reminds me again how significant the words of God are, the word of God, and how significant it is that God wants coming out of my mouth. Not human, not the wisdom of Al. Not an aluism, no, but a God-uism, if you please. Yeah. That's powerful, folks. That's powerful. God has designed us to be out of this world educators. You know, we say this statement, "I'm so heavenly minded, I'm no earthly good." That's a lie. That is a lie, a lie, a lie. You cannot be so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good. When you are the most heavenly minded, you are of the best earthly good. And I'm not saying you're living someone else and you're rejecting the reality of where you are. That's probably what we mean by that statement. But the truth of the matter is, when we are most like Jesus, heavenly minded, we are of earthly good. We are the best. We are out of this world educators. Number two, what's the second description of a dead man's walk? We walk according to the prince of this world. Who's that? Well, we know, Lucifer, Satan. The word for prince there is archon, which means first in order. Satan is the first in order as it relates to all that is evil. Lucifer. The power, the word there is exousia, authority. Authority over all rebellion. That's who Satan is. He's the rebellious of the rebellious. Whenever you catch yourself in rebellion, resistance, immediately say to yourself, "Oh, I know where that's coming from, because it's not God. When you're resisting what God has said or what God has done or what God is, who God is and all of his nature and character, he is the most rebellious one. The word for air there means atmosphere. The word for spirit is that which is working to energize. The word there is energ, which means to energize. Our word, energize. It is an operating function. The word for sons, those in the family of disobedience. The sons of disobedience, the bloodline of disobedience. They rebel against the rule of God and they're non-compliant. Have you ever sensed yourself being in that category? Duh. That's one of the descriptions of a dead man's walk. Wow. The God of this world. Let's look at 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4. There's a couple of other scriptures there. I'll just let you look at those in your own. 2 Corinthians 4, 4. It says, but even if our gospel is hid or veiled, verse 3, it is veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds, the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Every time you let your breath be the breath of God, I'll guarantee you the enemy will try to stop it. And maybe even just like David, you'll get a word from God. You just know what that word is to be. But then all of a sudden, a temptation comes in to twist it, to fit what you think it should say. I had this happen to me the other morning. I was praying for a certain situation. And God gave me a passage of scripture to text to somebody. And I said, I don't want to do this. This is a hard word. I'm not going to say what it was. But I know God told me. And so I said, okay, God. And so I texted to this person what that scripture was. And then I put at the end, I'm just the mailman. So that's an easy out, okay? You can always say, I'm just the mailman. Don't know what God is trying to say about this. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 4, that whole passage there, he has blinded, the enemy of this age has blinded the minds who do not believe. Because he wants to keep them in that state of unbelief, disbelief, wrong belief, the God of this world. And where does he work? He works in the music art. He works in music, the arts, religion, politics, governments, everything you can imagine on earth. That's where the enemy works. He's the God of this world, the prince of this world. And so, that's without Jesus, apart from Jesus, that's a dead man's walk. The third part to the dead man's walk, he walks according to flesh. Now, this is one that keeps, you know, we got a hangover. If we've been intoxicated to the place of being drunk with the things of the God of this world, the prince of this age, if we're drunk with the things of the prince of this age, I'll guarantee you we're going to have a hangover with the flesh as it relates to even walking in the spirit as a believer. We'll tend to be talking out of both sides of our mouth. See what I'm saying? Out of one side of our mouth, we're embracing the spirit. On the other side of our mouth, we're speaking the flesh. And that's conflict. That's confusion. And what is conflict and confusion? It brings up all kinds of witchcraft. It brings up all kinds of stuff that's evil. Yeah. So, what's the word for lust? The word for lust there is epithumia. Epithumia. It means a passionate craving. The word for flesh is that immaterial part of you that has a disposition toward disobedience and resisting God, things of God and the people of God. And it's an immaterial part of you that has a disposition toward disobedience in resisting God, the things of God, and the people of God. You know, I don't understand why people, they get hurt in the church, for instance. And let's face it, I've been hurt in the church. But they live in that hurt. I have refused to live in that hurt, that pain. But when we do, and I resist corporate worship, and I resist corporate activity, and I resist corporate connection in the body of Christ, what am I doing? I'm just following the ways of the world. Yeah. It's part of the flesh. It's the immaterial part of me that is looking at the things of God through disobedience, and the way of disobedience seems more attractive than obedience. And so the mind becomes the place of understanding. The mind is the place of understanding. And the word for wrath there is God's wrath against all that is sin, or man's wrath caught up in himself. I'm not going to expound on that. I'll let you meditate on it. This is best seen as the wrath of God against sin. So, Romans 1:18. That's a powerful passage of scripture. I'll let you study it on your own as well. Next paragraph. What God does in showing his displeasure concerning all that is not God. God refuses to accept anything that does not reflect his character and nature. So God knew that he could not take his wrath out on man and anyone survive. If God would have taken out his wrath, his rightful place of displeasure towards all that is sin in the world, if God would have done that, no one would survive. So what did he do? He took it out on his own son. He placed all of that sin, all of our sin, on his son, so that we, by faith, might be accepted. All right, let's go back to the 27 things. Wow. Number two, the present state. The bad news first, now the good news. Bad news, good news. I love the good news. A, basis of his working. Verse 4, but God. I want everybody to turn and look to the back of the room, and those words are on that wall back there. But God. Why is that up there? Well, many years ago, Michael Abanez, who has gone on to be with Jesus, had a vision one day that if we would just come to the end of ourselves and all that is of this world and recognize that there is hope, we would always say, but God. That's so powerful. But God, who initiated it all, not us, we didn't initiate it, God did. He is rich, the word for rich, limitless, exhaustless, abundant. Rich in what? Mercy, pity at the sight of another's misfortune. So what does God do? I want you to think of the most vile person you can think of right now. Now, is God reaching out to that person? Is he climbing that mountain? And Ryan, I want to close with that song. Climbing that mountain to draw this person to himself. Yes. God's doing it because of his mercy. He has pity at the sight of another's misfortune. He has compassion. It's like a shepherd pulling up sheep. 400 times in the Old Testament, 78 times in the New Testament, 15 in Matthew alone. Have mercy on me. Mercy is the key. 1 Peter 1:3. I want you to turn with that Turn with me to that. And we're just about ready to wrap this up. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. I love Peter's description of this. 1 Peter 1, 3. Blessed be the God of the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Living, not dead, living hope. Living hope. To what? To an inheritance. Wait a minute. When do you get your inheritance? Because of your identity with Jesus. Once you accept, receive, believe Jesus Christ to be your personal Savior, your inheritance becomes immediate and you can draw upon your inheritance now. Any amens on that issue? Yeah, I like that one. So those 27 things that I just mentioned to you a few minutes ago, all of those things are my inheritance. I can draw upon it. It's like an endless bank account. Wow. Look at chapter 2 and verse 10. 2 and verse 10. Let's pick it up with verse 9 because it's the chosen generation, the royal priesthood. That's us. The holy nation. That's us. A special people who proclaim the praises of him that is Jesus, who called you, that's me, that's you, out of darkness into marvelous light. Out of death into life. Darkness into light. Who once were not a people. I was not a person, but now, I was not a person that could see it or understand this, but now I am a person who sees and understands it. So I'm a people, I'm a person of God who has obtained mercy. Yes. Wow. Mercy, mercy, mercy. What's the picture? I deserve penal judgment in the court of God's law. But God. I deserve eternal separation from God as a dead man forever. But God. I deserve to remain dead. Coming back again to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Yeah. B, what's the extent of this mercy? Verses 5 and 6. Let's go back to Ephesians and wrap this up. You getting anything out of this? Yeah. Good. You know what's fun about this? Is that I didn't know I was going to be doing this morning. But God did. From before the foundation of the world. Love it. All I need to do is come alongside what God's doing, and hey, I get the benefit. The extent of his mercy, verses 5 and 6, Ephesians 2. Even when we were dead, notice that, not now, but we were, he made us alive together with Christ. Notice that. With, not just in, but with. Wow. By grace you have been saved. And he raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Where are you right now? Well, you say, I'm in Pagosa Springs sitting at Restoration Fellowship waiting for lunch break. No, that's part of where you are. But the real you is right with Jesus next to the Father. Emily, big smile. That's good, girl. Love it. Made alive, raised us up, sit together. Those three terms, made alive, raised us up, sit together. The spiritual ascension and session with Jesus at the right hand of Father. And so when Jesus breathes, Father breathes through your lips and words come out of your mouth, you touch someone's life and they become hopeful. Full of hope. See, the ultimate purpose of his working, verse 7, that in the ages to come, wow. What does that include? That includes all eternity. He might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. So what's going to happen? From the moment you trust Jesus through all eternity, what is your life to be? This. The exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward others, towards us, in Christ Jesus. Wow. And then he just gives us a summary, verses 8 to 10. For by grace you have been saved, through faith. That not of yourselves. It was of you, it'd just be of this world. It'd be a less than a manure pile. You're saved by grace through faith, the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Wow. I love it. So what do I need to do today? All I need to do is come alongside what God is already saying, listen to his voice, and speak what he says. When I come alongside God and what all that he is saying and all that he is doing, then what happens? The world around me has totally changed. Ryan, come. I want to close with this song in worship. And a ministry team, prepare yourself to come to minister to people. But I just believe that we need to take time to just worship in this atmosphere again this morning with this song that Ryan taught us this morning. Powerful, powerful, powerful. I just love this generation because they have a connection with God that I longed for as a child when I was growing up. Yeah. Amazing, amazing, amazing. But as we worship in this again this morning, you might have a need, something that God is touching your heart with or in. Just come. Receive what God has for you. And I want the team of people, I know Hector and Naomi are on the ministry team this morning, so I want Clint and Lisa, if you could come and be on the ministry team this morning, both of you, okay? And those of you who want to come and lay hands on Hector and Naomi and anyone else that is here, and I realize Jessica and Ryan, you're on worship team, so just receive by faith what's being spoken, okay? But we want to pray for this team as they go to Mexico. Yeah. Yeah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, yeah. Emily. Yeah, you go too. You're coming. Yes. Let's stand together and worship the Lord. Yeah. Just come. Either receive or give. Ministry. Yes. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me. Yes. You have been so good, so good, so good. So, Father God, I choose to live out the inheritance you have given to me, to us, in this hour. Thank you, Jesus.
Jesus. Before I spoke a word, you were singing over me.
Just take that in.
You have been so, so good.
So, so good.
Before I took a breath, you breathed your life into me.
Parents, if you have children next door, I'd encourage you to go get them.
You have been so, so
kind. As we finish up worship time here today. Thank you, Lord. He left the 99 and came after you.
Till you give yourself away. And all the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God.
Yes, God. Soak in this morning. Let it soak in.
There's no shadow you won't light up. Mountain you won't climb up. You're coming after me. There's no wall you won't kick down. A lie you won't tear down.
Coming after you.
There's no line you won't,
he won't let you die.
Mountain you won't climb up.
He won't leave you half dead. He's coming after you.
There's no wall you won't
give you his life.
Down. Lie you won't
accept it now. By faith, after me. His life into your life.
There's no shadow you won't light up. Mountain you won't climb up. Coming after me. There's no lie you won't kick down, a lie you won't tear down, coming after me. Oh, the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God. And though it chases me down, fights till I'm found, leaves the 99, and I don't earn it. I don't deserve it. Still, you gave yourself away. And all the overwhelming, never-ending, reckless love of God.
So, Father, I just thank you. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. That your love is more than enough. Your love is more than enough to cover every sin in my life and everyone else's. And so, Father God, right now I choose to love with your love. I choose to embrace with your embrace everything and everyone that needs your touch today. Thank you, Jesus.